Sup, everybody. This is Carrick with ACG for another in the ACG and D podcast. Today, we're going to be talking about theme. We're going to be talking about self-awareness and that uncomfortable feeling when somebody asks you to come to a D&D game. We're going to be talking about all that. Why are we doing it? Well, we're coming up on Christmas time, and one of the major things that occurs in Dungeons & Dragons are themed games or role-playing, and you might jump in and be like, hey, man, I want to play. But then somebody's all, yeah, so what's your character? And you start to get a little nervous because you realize you might be talking in front of other people. And hey, that's role-playing, but I get it. People want to jump in, but at all times, you really don't want to be the center of attention, right? So we're going to discuss how to get past some of that. And speaking of getting past things, let's get past this. One, iTunes, Spotify, every other podcast basically station out there we're on. Go there, subscribe, follow. If you're following on Spotify, follow on iTunes. If you're following on iTunes and Spotify, follow on TuneIn Radio. Follow wherever you can. Tell other people. Tweet it. This is the only way these things can continue to move forward. Also, the patron, I want to say thanks to all the new people who joined who loved the Cyberpunk review. It was crazy to do that review. And, you know, it was an enjoyable time regardless. A lot of people are like, man, is he drunk or high because he's laughing all the time? No. In fact, when I look at the way gamers talk about games, a lot of times there's this almost strange feeling of detachment that comes about me where I just sort of laugh at the audacity of people. And that's what I had captured in that review, was me just laughing at humanity as a whole and how uncomfortably personified everybody became around those reviews. And it was a blast to do. So let's begin ACG&D podcast. We're going to talk about everything. First, let's talk a little bit about Joshua Meadows and the continued use of idioms and creating a character. I'm going to basically move right past this today, but tell you guys, if you want to bring those up, the links will be in the description or they're in the descriptions of the last podcast where you can bring those up, because I will be referencing various bits of characters and attributes and skills, and those are always good to have in front of you. Why did I link those and why are they in the description? Well, I think it's easier for you guys to follow along, as these podcasts, especially at the starting, are really about getting people into any kind of role-playing and understanding how to go about it and make it a little bit easier, where idioms make it a little bit easier to create characters and understand the various different numbers and skills that they may have. I think idioms are also quite useful for role-playing. And we're also going to talk about something else when it comes to role-playing, and that's characterization, especially when you're new. So let's get into it. Let me make a character for you. This is a person who, for most of the year, he watches over everybody. He's always looking. He's tracking what they're doing. The drug dealers, the murderers, the people. Let's say he lives on a street corner and he's watching all this. And then once a year, this dude goes out. And if there's a murderer out there who's got away with it, he takes him down. If there's somebody who's done something for their community, he helps them out, right? The naughty and nice. I've basically described the characterization of Santa, but as some kind of vigilante. The reason why I did so is because I think that a lot of people don't really realize how many characterizations they can take, whether it's a themed game or a non-themed game, and make it easier for them to roleplay in front of others without being embarrassed. Now, most of us have albums, novels, comic books, movies, TV shows that we've liked, even radio dramas, even audiobooks that you may have liked, and there might be a character that you enjoy. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I don't take in media, but in the end, they do. It's just the various types of media that you might be discussing at that type may not end up, you know, going over into their spot, but maybe they watched old Bob Ross. Maybe they don't take in TV shows or movies or anything, but they take on Bob Ross. Well, did you know Bob Ross was in the military? Prior to being an artist, he was a sniper in the military. So this is a guy who basically saw war, saw the worst parts of war, and came back and said, let's just paint the world happily until I die. That could be a characterization for you. Or Robin Hood. You could go with the Kevin Costner shitty accented Robin Hood. What if you decide you're playing a game and you're like, this is the guy I'm going to be. This is a guy who's sort of robbing from the rich, giving to the poor, but also a toy or a boyish kind of character. You know, somebody who's still basically believes in fun and believes in goofiness, even in the midst of battle, but takes something serious. All these characterizations can be used and cut up and put back into your character and make it easier for you to move on. Let's describe it this way. You're going into a game with a couple other people and you've decided to be the gun runner. Now you're the gun runner who, this is a modern day game. You're the gun runner who we'll just say is always a little bit goofy, but tries to give people good deals, has some people on his side that protect him. Doesn't really like to get into the nitty gritty of anything. He's just really supply and demand kind of guy, right? Getting good deals and giving good deals to others. He knows what goes on. So let's say you cut up a little bit of the Robin Hood and you decide, hey, why does he do this? Well, let's say that his father years prior was killed by a drug cartel. And so what he's doing is he knows it's not perfect, but he's always selling drugs to those people who are against that other cartel, right? So you've snipped up just a little bit of Robin Hood, and maybe you've seen the movie and you recognize some of the one-liners that were said or some of the various different things that were said, and you can use those in your game. And this can be transposed with other things. For example, let's say you've seen Fifth Element and you've seen Bruce Willis as his character, who's basically just a shitheel. He's a pretty terrible taxi driver, and he ends up becoming the savior of, well, the known galaxy. This is a character that you could mix in with Robin Hood, and you could decide, you know, do I want to take the boyish part out of Robin Hood, and do I want to make him more of a 1-2-3 kind of character like Bruce Willis is in The Fifth Element? But what do I want to add? Do I want to add maybe he's an end of the line kind of guy? Maybe the Robin Hood part has come up because he's tired of it. Maybe it was just not his father who was killed by a drug cartel, but multiple people and friends. And finally, he's not necessarily snapped, but he's found himself in a series of situations that allow for him to take action, which is what Fifth Element as a movie is all about. And the reason why I'm bringing these up, guys, is because you'll get a group together. You'll get 3-4 people together. And almost notoriously, unless you're a long-term group, there's 1 or 2 people who are new and they need to understand the ins and outs. And there's a little bit of embarrassment at times. Or even if there's an embarrassment that doesn't come across to somebody who doesn't talk, there can become an overzealous kind of creation where the person's bigger than life. And that can also throw a little bit of trouble into the game. And what I'm trying to do is explain to you there are various different ways in which you can play, but these are some ways in which you can get over a little bit of that embarrassment. A lot of people who are probably listening to this have played Dungeons & Dragons and role-playing and Werewolf and all these games, and they know what it's like to talk in front of others. But some don't. And there's an embarrassment level there of having all eyes on you. And what happens is a couple different things. The first is you'll hear a lot of third-person, first-person switching. So, and I'll do this accidentally on times as a DM. So it's not, this is something that can be an accident or it can be on purpose, but there's a distancing on purpose of the of whatever perspective is going on. So let's say this same rogue, he's a gun runner. He's decided he's going to take it to the bad guys. He's going to take it to the bad guys with a little bit of goofiness, but something's happened to allow him to finally take action. We'll say a laser gun appears in the midst of all these weapons. He's been stealing weapons and selling them to the opposite gang cartel, and some amazing weapon shows up. Let's say not only an amazing weapon, but amazing armor. Something shows up like a glitter boy in Rifts that's just almost impenetrable to the bad guys. So he decides it's finally time to take him out. What happens with a lot of people who are a bit embarrassed is they'll start saying, we'll just use the name Bruce. They'll start saying, Bruce says, I don't know about you guys, but I think it's time to kick ass and chew bubblegum, right? Or chew bubblegum and kick ass. So that detachment a lot of times can show a little bit of embarrassment or a little bit of self-awareness on the player's part. Instead of the GM or DM saying, he looks at you and says, what do you think? And the person who's playing Bruce says, I think it's time to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and I'm all out of bubblegum, right? So there's two types of way. There's a type of way of saying Bruce says this, but you all know most of the time that Bruce is the person being played, or that first person narrative. And that can indicate, not always, but it can indicate a little bit of self-awareness there. So what I'm trying to do is allow for you to overlay on top of yourself these known tropes. And you can tell people, by the way, this is something that's very, very useful. And it doesn't even have to be the full truth, but that's metagaming. Let's just talk about if it is the truth. My Alexa agrees. So let's say you get in a group of people and you're new to this and you want to explain to them how you are as a character. You can say, I'm a mixture of sort of a Robin Hood style and the character who is at the end, the dregs, but some situation occurs that allows for them to finally take it out on the bad guys, like in Fifth Element. And those two things will allow for somebody to then ask you questions. Does he look like Bruce? Does he look like Kevin Costner? Or the new Robin Hood. I don't remember what that guy's name is who was the actor for that. You also had a Russell Crowe one. My God, that was a terrible Robin Hood. So you can do these things and you can work it with people. This is like idioms, by the way. This is really the characterization style of idioms. And all these things, they're there to make it easier. You know, I get a lot of people who are playing games and they see these major companies doing Twitch. I mean, they are companies now. They're not even just a couple people. They're like huge companies doing Twitch and streaming. And they're like, how do they have all this stuff set up? How do they do this? Sometimes games and in D&D, you might build a character. Other times you might roll it. I'm certainly more into the idea of rolling and coming to grips with what you want to be, but you can also decide what you want to be pre-rolling as well. You can say, I want to be a thief and roll and see where it goes, but it all depends on the game, right? I've already stated, I think, you know, describing things as OSR versus, you know, the old school Renaissance versus other games really doesn't make a lot of sense, because it may not even really make sense to them what a new person, what OSR even is. You can just say, this is the D&D game and the type we're playing. And I think that's on the DM to explain that as well. It's on the DM to say, there's a little bit of chance in your character creation. It's on the DM to say, there's no chance in your character creation. It's all about builds, right? You can choose what you want. But the reason why I'm bringing these up is because I think, when it comes to role-playing, I have made this mistake. I've brought people in recently even and forgotten at times to help them with idioms, or forgotten at times to help them with characterizations and cutting away parts of movies or books that they like and injecting them into a character. And it's hurt them. It's hurt the game, where I've been like, man, I don't have a gist of where this character is going. And then I realize, oh shit, you know, we didn't talk about these things. And what's great now is, even now, by the way, you can do this. Go, if you've played a game, let's say you're 5 months in a game, right? Let's say you're playing weekly, you're 5 months in a game, and there's times where maybe the DM or your other players don't know exactly where you're coming off of, and you realize, you know, we haven't sat down and we really haven't talked. We really haven't pieced up what these characters are like. And yet, if you're all D&D nerds, there might be multiple movies or books that you can sort of bounce off each other. And I'm not saying you haven't done this, by the way. I'm not saying you haven't. I'm just saying that there is a chance that it hasn't been as fleshed out as you may think, because it's very easy for somebody to be like, well, I said he was like Drizzt from Forgotten Realms. Everybody pronounces that name different. You could say, I'm like Tanis from Dragonlance. First of all, even if everybody knows who Tanis is, which version of Tanis, you know, that character like lived through the adventures for, I don't know, 60 years, because he was a half elf and he aged a little better than humans, but a little worse than elves, right? So yeah, like we have no clue. But if you say Fifth Element, right, that's a movie. It's a 2-hour movie. There's a very particular time frame there, and that can help. So capture these things. Think about it. Take it nature and demeanor. What's his nature like? Is his nature basically Bruce Willis from Fifth Element, and his demeanor more like the Robin Hood, right? You can mix all these, not only just the idioms, but you can roll an idiom for nature and demeanor, and you can cut these up and start using them for character bits. Now, the continuation of all this, again, is to make it easier on people. And that's why I want to talk about themed games, because themed games come up during Christmas and Halloween, 4th of July, less so. Christmas and Halloween, for sure. Maybe even summer, you might have your Stranger Things kind of game where you decide to play a bunch of kids in the summertime away from school and something supernatural happens. The defining line between a themed game and a normal game usually is that one is a one-off or a shorter game, meaning it might be a one scenario game or a couple scenarios, but it's usually not the full game proper, because the full game proper is usually not based around fucking Christmas, right? That wouldn't make a lot of sense. So these themed games come up, and the reason why I bring them up is because I think a lot of the tools and tactics we use for themed games can be used not only for one-off games that aren't themed, as in you've decided to play the bad guys in your current 5-year game, as well as just understanding how to take some of the truncated timelines that exist in a one-day game or a one-session game and move them into the main game, even if it comes to how you talk and what you do. Let me give you an example. A lot of times in a shorter one-off game, people are a little bit more pointed in how they do things, because they know it won't be 10 years of gaming that they have in store. It'll be something where maybe their clarification of the message that they're giving out from their character and their language is just more pointed. Maybe they're a little bit more reckless. So what I say is, make sure that when you're playing these themed games, or when you're playing these one-offs and you're deciding that you want to do those, or if you want to get into D&D and you want to try this kind of thing, make sure you remember the freedom that can occur in those one-offs. Because I see a lot of people getting into longer games, and that freedom of risk starts to sort of be patterned back. They start to sort of peter back on that feeling of risk. And I'm a big fan of thinking that risk and taking a chance, or even just taking some of the energy that exists in those one-off games and those themed games and moving them into your main games proper can work. But let's say you've never played and you want to do a themed game with friends. There's one page games, one sheet games, one shot games. The terms go all over the place. But what these are is, they're a very short snippet of games that you can play and sort of just jump into them. Let me give you one that I think is amazing. It's called Honey Heist. Now, you might be like, Honey Heist, what the hell is that? This is a one sheet, which means it is one piece of paper, and there's sort of a rule set and sort of a contest around these, meaning all of the descriptions, all of the rules have to exist on one page. Now, that might sound difficult to you, but it's actually quite not. It'll involve how to make a character, how to go up in experience, what possible plots there might be. And these one-shots are hilarious. Honey Heist is one of the best I've ever seen. It involves a bunch of bears, and you can choose what bears, trying to get honey, and sort of the Ocean's 12 moments that occur. You have different bears. You have the grizzled war veteran bear who's, you know, lived through a bunch of fights. You have the funny young bear. It's crazy. And you can get this online for free, the PDF. Just go honeyheist.pdf, and you can find these. And these one-sheets, again, you'll notice a certain theme, format, and template for a lot of these. A lot of them. Lasers and Feelings is another one that's a little bit slightly different, but basically its rule set is involved around you only really having two types of actions in the game: feelings, or social kind of stuff, and lasers, which is your battle and action. And what these allow is for these quick, just twitch games for you to jump out and do these rules. And the cut-ups and the idioms, these all help these shorter games sort of come to fruition. For example, let's say you decide to do Honey Heist, and you decide, we got three people and we're going to do bears. And so I'm going to walk you through the rules real quick. Again, it's awesome. This is by Grant Howitt. So Honey Heist, character creation, you roll the descriptor. You roll either a rookie, washed up, retired, unhinged, slick, or incompetent bear. And then you have a bear type or style. You have grizzly, polar, panda, black, sun, or honey badger. And each one of those character types has a very particular skill set. For example, grizzly is terrifying. Polar bear is swimming. Panda, they can eat anything that looks like bamboo. Black is the ability to climb. Sun is sense honey, which is a part of this game. And honey bear, or honey badger, just has carnage as their style. And then you have a role of muscle, brains, driver, hacker, thief, or face. Those are right out of Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, and that's a 1d6 role. And so you're putting these together, and he even has a bonus hat table. If you want your bear to wear an awesome hat, roll 1d8. You can get a Tribbly hat, a top, a bowler hat, flat cap, cowboy, fez, crown, or you can roll again. The reason why this is so awesome to me is because what it allows is for people to come together with something completely weird. You know, you've got this idea of, you're like, wait a minute, we're going to be bears. And a bunch of people roll bears. And then you start to realize, oh, this is, and by the way, I said Honey Heist is one page. I apologize. This is actually a two-pager. I apologize. We're going to stretch the rules here a bit. But as you move forward, it just has you roll various things. Like, aside from loads of honey, you roll 1d6 to find out what another prize is. For example, a briefcase of pure Manuka extract worth $5 million. The queen of all bees, once exiled, now returned. You can get Abraham Lincoln's beehive, thought to be haunted by his ghost. It's just out of control, right? It's just crazy. And what that allows is for a DM to come up with something short, a one-off, and say, all right, man, this is the Ocean 12 of bears games, right? We're going to be three bears we're going to Winnie the Pooh this shit. We're going to Scrappy-Doo, Scooby-Doo this shit. And we're going to try to steal the bee, the queen bee of all bees, which can, let's say, create tons of honey. And we're going to steal it from the bad guy. And maybe you decide that the bad guy is going to be a bunch of honey badgers, and they've taken this. And so you guys have to figure out how to get in, and you can, you know, roll it all into nature. You can start playing it. Like, remember the old Robin Hood from Disney? You can start taking animal archetypes in. Maybe you hire a fox to be a spy and go get data about what's going on at the honey bear badger base. All of these things can be created from the various different people who are, you know, at the game table. And then you talk about themed games like A Christmas, and you decide, what are you going to do? Well, you could take stuff from different TV shows like Santa's Gone Missing, that kind of stuff. It just all depends. But the themed ones, I think, usually go around Halloween and horror-based games. And of course, you always have to check to make sure everybody's, you know, cool with the scary game and the scary bits that follow. But I think that when you look at these kind of things for a newcomer, these themed games, these one-offs, these one-shots are actually a little bit easier for somebody to get into because the rules are so simple most of the time. For example, the Honey Heist is just a couple dice. That's all you need. And for most games, if it's a 1d20 or a 1d10 kind of skill system, you can use a set of playing cards. Remove the jokers, remove the kings, queens, and you have, you know, 1d10 and 1d10, ace to 10, and you just say, hey, you know, pull two cards and use those two cards, and that's your 1d20, right? Or one card if it's a 1d10 game. Add skills to it and decide your difficulty. You can do these kind of things really simply, and I just think that a lot of people who look at D&D, it can be quite uncomfortable when you look at it. You see people thespian and out in your Critical Roles and in your other huge D&D games, and you're like, man, I don't know if I'm comfortable with that. Overlaying what I stated at the starting, overlaying the characterization of like a Robin Hood using their one-liners, using their, you know, ideas can make you detach a little bit and still be comfortable with what you're doing and figure out your voice as you come into D&D. Because I want more people to get involved. And the number of people I have talked to who are uncomfortable with role-playing is insanely high. And I'm not talking about, you know, the stances of being uncomfortable with, like, you know, somebody getting stabbed or something like that, or the visceralness of a battle system, because that, I think, hits almost everybody in some way. You know, we all think of that. But the ones that are more idiosyncratic just for them, whether it be a life event or whether it be a fear of clowns, right? You don't, if somebody's got a fear of clowns, I can tell you right now, don't mess with somebody who's got a fear of clowns. Like, that shit never works out. It's never funny, right? You know, sometimes you can have these games where, you know, you might talk to them and there's a fear of something and you can sort of put it in and everybody can be comfortable. And even that person can be like, oh, this is sort of cool. I can deal with it from a third person's perspective and not from a real life perspective. You always got to check on this shit, make sure somebody's okay with it. I've seen lately a lot of people talking about all these tools and all this awareness and all this, I don't even know what to call it. I saw somebody calling it Grimdark, and I'm like, I have no clue what that even means. Because to me, Grimdark is Warhammer 40,000. It's not, there's not a specific thing about Grimdark. And people were all over me. They were actually mad because I asked. I'm like, what are you guys even talking about? What does this mean? Like, I don't understand, you know, checking with people. And they were like, well, you got to make sure that you, you know, follow these 55 tools and steps and all this stuff. And I'm like, man, why would you not? Why would you not? Like, of course you have to do that. And I'm not saying you shouldn't warn people about it, but it wasn't even a warning about it. It was like this weird thought process around it that, you know, that all these things would be okay. They're not. You know, you have to verify. Just like when you would say, do you want to come over and play Monopoly, right? I mean, some people don't like Monopoly. Some people don't like encountering their fears. But if you can find a holiday game, if you can find a Halloween game, if you can find a one shot that you like, and you can find these on Reddit and stuff like that, I think using these tools, idioms, and characterizations can help you a great deal. And they can help you in a major game. I just think that a lot of times once somebody gets into their fourth or fifth session, they might have done this without telling anybody anyway. And if you want to, you can tell other people. And it works. And for example, this has actually worked for me a lot of times when you're talking about what somebody looks like. So it's very difficult at times to say what somebody looks like unless you hire an artist to paint the character or you show somebody in a character generator. What I have done is found a piece of media where I'm like, you know, this character looks pretty much like this guy, but not ripped, or like this person, but not fat, or like this person, but of my heritage, of my origins, that kind of thing. And it can really work well to help everybody go, I get it. I got you. I know where you're coming from. As long as they're not too out of bounds. For example, I've told some people, it's best not to say that your character looks like The Rock, but skinny, because at some point the jokes become the story, you know, oh, well, then he's just like, is he cancer Rock where he's like sick? And you're like, no, that's not what I meant. I just meant like his face structure, right? So it's usually best to find somebody else. But anyway, we're going to keep this one short. I hope characterizations and idioms help. I hope understanding that trying to get people into one shots and understanding that flexibility in a one shot could help somebody get into games. And you can look these up. There's a thousand upon thousands of free ones that you and your friends can try, and you can decide, you know, is this comfortable or not? Is this for us or not? The next couple podcasts, I'll be talking about being a game master and how to put things together. There's two types of game master, and then we'll move on. Well, actually, in this podcast, my dog farted and it's making like other dogs gag. Anyway, the two types of game master, you know, are your, and this is sort of like your far end ones. You've got your game master who is, I would just say, completely free and unfettered by planning. That's pretty much me. I would say I'm a little step in because I do plan the game world. I think about what's going on in the game world, that kind of stuff. Then you have the incredibly, almost ridiculously overplanned DM. Not bad, by the way. An overplanned, I just mean they've planned for every contingency and they've got the world at their, you know, just in their iron grip, and they know everything, and there's, to them, not a lot of surprises. Both can work for different people. What I'm going to do in the future is I'm going to sort of do a podcast or two where I describe the creation of a world, of a thought process, of a game from both sides. And I won't go completely either one or the other, because I don't think that really works to explain things. One side would be almost a board game with no house rules, and the other side would be theater. What I'm going to do is try to sink in just a little bit towards the middle ground, not a ton, but describe to you what it's like to be a freeform DM and how you bounce things off and try to come up with sort of instant ideas off the cuff, how to use pauses to think and identify what you want to do, how to play off the interactions of your characters, and then how to do the same thing when you're incredibly planned and when things don't go your way or when they do go your way, and how to basically outline a game in that form. So if you have any ideas or suggestions, feel free. Basically, # ACGDND, or ACGND is really what it is, a no and there. And, post an idea if you've got one for what you want me to talk about. I would love for you to do so. It helps a great deal. It helps a great deal to spread the love for the podcast, too. We're coming up on Christmas. Actually, it's Christmas Eve today. I just want to tell everybody, I hope you have an awesome holidays, regardless of what you celebrate, or if you don't. I hope it's awesome. We're doing the Nog podcast tomorrow, which is where we just sit around drinking eggnog on Christmas Day with the fans and with people from the channel. You can check us out on Twitch. Anyway, that's it for me. Peace out, everybody.